If you enjoy routine, I apologize. We're going to today's service is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to break my sermon into about three parts, and so have some preaching and singing and preaching and singing and preaching and singing. And we're going to do that because one reason is we're going to focus on worship this morning. And so, absolutely, we have a lot to give to God and to praise God for, and we're going to do that this morning. I do have a new grandbaby. Let's get that out of the way. Thank you. It's exciting. We're excited, and thank you for being excited with us. God is a good God, isn't He?
Amen.
Why do we worship? You may have seen at a wedding, and I've seen a lot of weddings and a lot of vows exchanged, but more and more you may see where a couple at a bride and a groom will exchange vows that they have written. Have you ever seen that? Where they are speaking from their, they may be reading it, they may be, just be speaking it just from their mind, but it is from the heart. And I've seen that a few times. It's pretty special, and honestly, one of the best I've seen vows that were exchanged that were written by the bride and groom was Chris and Jacqueline Hobson. If you were at that wedding, you remember that. It's powerful to speak to another from your heart and to say, here's why I love you. Here's what you mean to me. Well, the Bible says that we are the bride of Christ, the church. We are the bride of Christ. How do you feel about your groom? How do you feel about your God? What does God mean to you? And so to answer the question of what is worship, worship is our opportunity to say to God what He means to us. And it's a precious opportunity that we have. There's a scripture, Lamentations 3:22, that says, "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." If we think about the attributes of God that are worthy of praise, there are numerous, right? God is love. God is gracious. He's merciful. God is powerful. He's all-knowing. He's eternal. He's holy. He's not sometimes holy. He's always holy. God is above us, but one attribute I want to point out to you before we sing a few songs in a moment. One attribute is God's faithfulness. You have been unfaithful to God. God has never been unfaithful to you. Think about that. You have failed God. You have fallen short. You've missed the mark. I have fallen short. I have missed the mark. I have let God down. God has never let me down, not once, and He never will. God is faithful. He does it, you know, you see it in your life, I hope, but we see it in lives of those of our members in the body here. God has been faithful to Mark and Susan Holland, and it is an example for us to watch Mark and Susan march along through life's great trials and to do it honoring God. That's an example. But God has been faithful to them, and He will be. We've seen it. We see it in when the Sisms and the Fields were flooded out of their homes, God was faithful to them. God is faithful. And then I've shared some about Liz and Colby and their trials in this pregnancy, and just briefly to say that Liz had morning sickness. I call it morning sickness, but it's nausea, and she had that the whole time, and it was very, very severe. And I've shared some of the trials that was difficult for Liz and Colby, and I've not shared some, but it was really hard. And there were times she didn't know how are we going to do this? How am I going to make it? And God was faithful to her. And God did not answer our prayers like we prayed, by the way. We prayed for her not to be sick anymore. We prayed it over and over and over and over and over, and repeatedly God said, that's not what I'm going to do. But God did help them in other ways. And one of those ways I want to share with you, Liz and Colby have, they are, some of you are pet people, and some of you are like me, not so big on pets, but they have a number of, they've had dogs and a snake, and for some reason they name them all food names. But so there's a dog Biscuit that I'm going to tell you about. There's had a dog Peach and a dog Kiwi and a snake called Noodle. And I'm not a fan of the snake, but, and I'm not really a fan of the dogs, but there's one dog, I want to tell you about their dog Biscuit. And this was actually written up on a website that reports on stories with pets and animals. And this dog, as Liz would spend hours in the bathroom with her severe nausea through her whole pregnancy, this dog would stay by her side the whole time, every time. And here's what Liz said. She said, it doesn't matter if I'm sick all night, he will stay by my side. He won't sleep unless I'm in bed. He won't leave the bathroom to eat or drink. He stays with me. Even if it's for 8 to 12 hours at a time. She had to bring his food and water in the bathroom, otherwise he wouldn't eat or drink. She said, he frequently dozes off leaning against me, only to quickly awaken and resume his duty of watching me. Here's what that dog looks like. Biscuit. And that's in the bathroom, if you can't tell. That's what he does. And I'm convinced that God was faithful to Liz and Colby during this time in different ways. He did it through family support, you guys' support. He did it in many ways, but he gave her a continual, unconditional comfort through this dog that was with her in ways none of us could be. And that's what God does. And my question for you, is God faithful to you? Can you look at a time in your life and see where God's been faithful to you? The question of why do we come to worship? We come to worship because our God is faithful to an unfaithful people. He's good. And he's been good, and there should be something in our hearts to offer up to him. And so let's sing out, church. Today's a day. If you hold back in worship, don't hold back. Let God hear it. Let us hear it. Open your heart to him. Let's do it together.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth. Songs of the Lord rise among us.
let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise, let it rise. Oh, let it rise, let it rise. Oh, let it rise, let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise, let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise, let it rise. Oh, let it rise, let it rise. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise, let it rise. Oh, 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 oh.
You may remember about a year ago a court case, an incident in Texas where an off-duty police officer entered a man's apartment, Botham Jean's apartment, and shot and killed him. And she says she thought it was her apartment and that he was a burglar. You may remember that occurring about a year ago, and the trial, and then this past week, the sentencing of that officer, 10 years in prison. And you may have seen a video this past week showing the brother on the stand and what he said. So I want to show that video and also something the judge did following that or at that same time. And if you've not seen the video, you might need to ask for a tissue from somebody right now, if anyone has one of those nearby. It's pretty powerful. And there's a narrator that also narrates on this, and so.
I wasn't going to ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you.
Today was an extraordinary day in a Dallas County courtroom.
Because I know that's exactly what both of them want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ.
The victim impact statement in the Amber Geiger trial was unprecedented.
I love you as a person.
Botham Jean's younger brother, Brandt, gave an impact statement to Amber Geiger.
And I don't wish anything bad on you.
He surprised the judge and probably members of his family.
I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
All the deputies in the courtroom looked at each other, knowing that this was a major infraction of the security rules. And then they looked at Judge Kemp for guidance. She made a snap decision and said, go ahead. And so the hug happened. Instead of reacting with rage to the guilty verdict and sentence of 10 years, he pivoted and offered grace and kindness and forgiving. The judge, already emotional from watching Brandt hugging Amber Geiger, went to the family and spoke to them and offered them words of encouragement, just out of earshot of the reporters nearby. The judge then turned and went to Amber Geiger herself. She bent down and spoke to her in her ear. We couldn't hear what she was saying at first, but then the judge walked away, went back into her chambers, and returned less than a minute later with a small book in her hand. We quickly realized that it was a copy of the Bible.
This is the one I use every day. This is your job for the next month. You get right here. John 3:16.
Then the judge and Amber hug each other. Amber tells something in the judge's ear that prompts the judge to say, "Ma'am, it's not because I'm good, it's because I believe in Christ." The judge continues, "I'm not so good. You haven't done so much that you can't be forgiven." The judge continues, "You did something bad in one moment in time. What you do now matters." Then the judge urges Amber to take the Bible with her as the deputies escort her back to the holding cell for prisoners. At this point, lawyers and onlookers were all tearing up, getting emotional. I was tearing up. No one really could understand what was going on.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
You know, that judge may get in trouble to some extent for doing, I mean, that doesn't happen, right?
That's right.
That doesn't happen. Everything changed in that courtroom. The judge lost all of her boundaries, and everything changed. And I love the fact that Jesus Christ turned that court case, turned that whole thing upside down, and showed the world something that the world needs, right? Forgiveness. I love it. And I hope if that judge does get reprimanded or whatever happens, I hope she has no regrets at all for setting everything aside and just being human and showing God's love. What that brother did, it was heard around the world. And he was not he's not a great spokesperson, and no doubt under the duress he was, you know what I mean? It wasn't how he said it. Wasn't how he did it, it's what he did. And it's amazing. The greatest gift that you've ever received was forgiveness from God through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Right? That's Amen. The greatest gift you've ever, ever received. And it will leave us speechless, won't it? And in a place where we say, "God, you're amazing." And that's why we come here to worship, to tell God how amazing He is. I just wanted to remind you of that. This song we're going to sing, the first verse, "He came to live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word, our light." In that one point in time, an event happened that the whole world has heard now. And that is what God's love looks like, right? And God's Word was shared. And that's what we have. That's why we should come together and be excited to celebrate together a God that's so good. So let's keep singing. Let's stand. Sing out, church.
That's why we sing. That's why we
'cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave his everything.
This morning I'll be reading from the King James Version in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you expected end. I would like to ask our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all who heard the word read this morning, hear it and do it, and bless us, continue to do the will of God. Thank you. Amen.
This is a good scripture. It reminds us that God, not only is he in charge, but he wants good for you. He's planned good for you. Do you ever think about what does God have planned for my future? And if you are a Christian walking with God, then heaven is in your future. Do you ever dream about heaven? I don't mean dream. I mean daydream. You ever daydream? If we're not daydreaming about heaven, we should be daydreaming about heaven. What's wrong with us? If we're not looking forward to that, what are we doing? So this past week, having a new first grandbaby, one of my favorite things to do is to hold that baby. And when I hold a baby, I don't like it in all the swaddling. I mean, that's good, but I like to unswaddle the baby and just have the baby, right? And laying on me, because the legs are nothing. They fold up, right, like an accordion. And you got their bottom here, and then you have to hold their head, and in between their head and their bottom, it's just mush. So it just mushes together, right? I like hearing the little grunts of a newborn baby. And then the best thing for me is the smell of the head, of the pure head of a newborn baby. There's nothing like it. And there are times in life when you experience something you love, you enjoy, that just it feels wonderful. And that's a little bit of what heaven surely will be like, right? So why are we not daydreaming about heaven? We should. God has great things planned for our future, but you may be in a trial right now. You may be in a place in your life that right now you have worries. You're not sure about the future. You're not sure how something's going to turn out. You've got very difficult things that you're dealing with. And if that's where you are, I remind you that Jesus is the reason you have hope in your future. It doesn't matter what the trial is. Jesus gives us hope. God gives us hope, right? Because God is in the future. He's in the present. He's in the past. He knows it all. He has power to change all. God has strength we don't understand. When I'm in a trial, I struggle like most of you do. I'm exercising my faith and my trust. But in a trial, I don't see how it's going to exactly work out great. And yet when I look back on my trials, God, he always does it a great way. If you are relying on somebody other than God, you're relying on the wrong person.
That's right.
If you're expecting someone to never fail you, or something to never fail you, and unless it's God, you're anchoring to the wrong one. So I remind you to anchor to Jesus. That's where he is our rock. That's where our hope comes from. We're going to sing three more songs. The next song will be our invitation song. We'll sing another song, and then our final song, we're going to sing Get Right Church. Now, we weren't sure if we can pull that off, right? That song is a unique song, and so I just remind you, I'm giving you a heads up now. When we get to that last song, you've got to reach down into your soul and sing with your soul, right?
Amen.
So we're going to need everyone. Everyone on our last, but I think it's going to be a good song to end on, worshiping God for how good he is. This next song is going to be our invitation song. And if you don't know if you're going to heaven, Jesus is your only hope. You need to know that. If you think your hope is you being good enough, that's the wrong place. You don't have a chance if it hinges on you being good enough to earn heaven. Our only hope is Jesus. So if you are not ready to meet God, then today's the day to change that, and we can help you with that. There may be someone in this room, you've never given your life to Christ, you've never had your sins washed away in baptism, and you are hearing about God, and you kind of get it, you understand it, you don't know if God can save you. And He can. And Jesus' blood reaches you too. So if someone has the life to be made right, let's help you do that. If someone has a prayer, it's something we can lift up to God, we will do that and love to do that. And so this, let's stand together. This will be our invitation song. Come as we stand and sing.
In Christ alone.